Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for joining us online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. If you've missed any episodes of Live by Every Word and you'd like to go back and listen to those or listen to an old one again, you can find the podcasts pretty much wherever you can find podcasts, including iTunes, and of course they're there at thetrumpet.com and kpcg.fm as well. Many of our listeners are familiar with the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is a holy day that God commands in His Word, and yet not many people observe it today. But it is such a vital day. It is so important. It's part of God's master plan of salvation. And a lot happened on the day of Pentecost historically, and also a lot will happen in the future. On the day of Pentecost, Israel received God's law. God's people also received the Holy Spirit of God. That also occurred on the day of Pentecost. And then also, looking forward, the day of Pentecost pictures God's church marrying Jesus Christ. And when we look at that marriage, there's a book in the Bible that makes it very real to us, and that is the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth makes the future marriage of Jesus Christ to His church very real to us. Notice what's written here in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. This is a free course, and it's at thetrumpet.com. You can sign up for it and take it. And some of the history is summarized here from the book of Ruth. It says, Elimelech and Naomi were a rich couple with two sons. Israel had a famine, and the family came under a lot of pressure because of their wealth. So they moved to Moab to get away from all the problems. And you're probably familiar with some of this history if you've looked into the book of Ruth. Continuing, it says, while they were in Moab, Elimelech died. That obviously created more troubles for Naomi and her family. The two sons married women in Moab. And then, about 10 years later, both of the sons died. Naomi was left alone with her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. The three of them became very impoverished, and Naomi decided to make the trip back to her home in Judah. So quite a bit of trouble over the years there for Naomi. Let's pick up the history here in Ruth 1, verses 8 through 9, and we'll see what happened to Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. Ruth 1, verses 8 through 9, if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out, and we could look up these passages together. Verse 8 says, And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Eternal deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead, and with me. And verse 9 says, And the Eternal grant you, that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. So, quite an emotional scene here. Naomi's imploring her two daughters-in-law to go back and find new husbands and have new families. And she's wanting them to not just go with her out of, say, pity or something like that, but really consider what they want to do going forward. And there's a lot of spiritual lessons here for us, for God's people. God wants people to count the cost before they commit to Him. They really have to count the cost. Do we really want to follow God and marry Christ? And God makes us choose. But it is up to us which direction we choose to go. Of course, God wants us to choose the right way. He wants us to choose to follow Him and fulfill our incredible human potential and obtain salvation and become part of His family. But it's up to us to choose. And first fruits in particular, they have to count the cost before getting involved, before getting baptized, before committing themselves to God. They have to count the cost and make sure they understand what type of a commitment they're getting into. Continuing in verse 14, it says, And they lifted up their voice and wept again. and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave onto her. So these daughters-in-law had two different attitudes here. They had a different thought on what they would do going forward. Verse 15 says, "And she said, Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back unto her people, and unto her gods. Return you after your sister-in-law." Verse 16, "And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave you, or to return from following after you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Verse 17, "Where you die, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Eternal do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part you and me." So quite a remarkable attitude here from Ruth. She was not going to leave her mother-in-law. Now, Ruth is a type of the church. As we look at this history, which is very interesting in its own right, becomes so much more valuable and so much more interesting when we understand the symbolism in it. And that's one of the symbols. Ruth is a type of the church. Notice Ruth 2 in verse 1. It says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." So here we learn about Boaz. The correspondence course notes that Boaz means in him is strength. And we are weak. There is nothing we can do of ourselves. But we can be strong if we go to Jesus Christ. There is strength in Boaz, a type of Christ. And so again, here's more symbolism. Ruth is a type of the church, and Boaz is a type of Christ, and he is strong. Christ has incredible strength. Boaz had strength. The correspondence course says, "We just need the character to go to him and build strength through his power." That's what we have to do, is have the character to go to him. We don't have the power on our own to do anything spiritually, to accomplish anything. But we can accomplish all things through Christ, through God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us, those that God has called and has given his Spirit to, who have repented and been baptized. There's power there in Christ, but we have to go to him. The correspondence course said, "The law in Israel said the poor could glean the fields of landowners after they were done harvesting." You can read about that in Leviticus 19, verses 9 through 10. And so what would happen is they would harvest the fields, but they would leave the corners, and then those that needed to get food from that sort of method could go out and glean that. And it was for the poor in Israel. Notice Ruth 2 in verse 2. "And Ruth said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace." Ruth here sets a tremendous example. She wasn't afraid to humble herself and go out and work with the poor. She wasn't ashamed to do that. She wasn't too proud to go out and to do what she needed to do, to provide for not only herself, but for her mother-in-law as well. She was willing to work and do what it took. And so there's a lot of wonderful spiritual symbolism here, but also physical qualities that we see as well. You know, for those that are single, if they're thinking about future spouse, the qualities of Boaz in men and the qualities of Ruth in women are vitally important. You know, men can really look to an example like Boaz. Women can really look to an example like Ruth and see even things to do in this physical life just in terms of physical relationships and the character that both of them had. But, of course, the bigger picture is Christ and the church. Notice the correspondence course continues and says, "Boaz saw Ruth working in the field and asked one of his foremen about her. He could see that she was a hard worker, laboring for her food, for Naomi, and really for God. He was very impressed." Think about the spiritual parallel here. Are we hard workers? Our future husband knows. So when Christ is evaluating the body of Christ, the church, and the individual members that make up that body, he's considering some of these things. Are we hard workers? Are we laboring for him? Are we laboring to do his work? You know, if you understand the history of God's church and where we are now in that time flow, we're in the Laodicean era, the last era of God's church, and that's marked by most of God's people turning away from God and not doing his work anymore. There is a very specific work that God is doing. He's doing it through a specific leader and then an organization that supports him. And so if you need to know more about that and you're interested, you can find more information at thetrumpet.com, also pcg.church. Those websites give you great information about the history of God's work and what God's work is doing now. But there's a work to be done. And here, Ruth was a hard worker. She was a hard worker. She wasn't afraid to get out and work hard and do what was necessary. And so Christ wants that same quality in his wife. He wants to see her very busy doing his work. And so we need to be supporting God's work today. Notice Ruth 2, continuing in verses 8 through 9. Ruth 2, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hear you not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." And so Boaz took notice of Ruth. And he said, whoa, look at how hard she's working. I mean, what an example, what quality of character there is in this woman. And so he wanted to really make sure that she was taken care of. He was protecting her. Continuing in verse 9, it says, "Let your eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go you after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch you? And when you are athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn." The correspondence course notes, this is the way Christ protects us. How many times has he saved us out of situations we weren't even aware of? That's something to consider. You know, how many times have you been on the interstate and come upon a car accident that you know happened just a few moments before? Or any situation that might be similar to that? Or maybe something that we're completely not aware of. We even wouldn't even know that it was going to happen or it could have happened. There are many times when Christ protects his people and Christ protects his church. And so if at times we struggle to really have that marriage to Jesus Christ be real in our thinking, because of course we are beset by things in this physical world all the time that grab our attention or want our attention, and if we're having a hard time really thinking about this marriage to Christ, get back into the book of Ruth again and study about Ruth and Boaz. That's the way Christ protects us, the way Boaz protected Ruth. That's something we can really dig into and understand. And of course, we do face trials and tests as we follow God. And that's part of counting the cost. There are occasional trials and tests that come up, no doubt. But again, how many times are we protected and blessed that we don't even know about? Those blessings, that protection, it far outweighs any tests or trials that come upon us. And even there, of course, God promises to deliver his people. So Boaz gives us a really concrete picture here of how Christ protects the church and protects his people and takes care of them. Notice Ruth 3, verses 3 through 6. It says, "Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint you, and put your raiment upon you, and get you down to the floor, but make not yourself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking." So this was a unique situation here. Naomi was giving Ruth some instruction here about how to deal with Boaz. And again, it's not something that we would see today, but back in ancient Israel, this was the way that things were done at times in terms of preparing for a marriage. Verse 4 says, "And it shall be when he lies down, that you shall mark the place where he shall lie, and you shall go in and uncover his feet and lay you down, and he will tell you what you shall do. And she said unto her, All that you say unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her." And so this was unique. But again, Ruth had this incredible attitude where she was very submissive and really wanted to do that which was right. And she knew that Naomi had good insight here. The correspondence course says, realize the spiritual parallels here. Ruth really had to go after Boaz. She had to go to him and lay herself at his feet. So again, when we consider that Boaz is a type of Christ and Ruth is a type of the church, then there's a lot of symbolism here, and we can see the attitude that is essential in God's people. It says she really had to show him that she wanted to marry him. Jesus Christ wants the same from us. He says, I want you to show me how much you want to marry me. Prove it to me. The way the world views it, we're going to have to do some strange things to be the bride of Jesus Christ. I mean, even though the Bible is full of knowledge about Christ marrying the church, it's not something that you hear about too often. People don't really talk about that very much in the world. But, of course, Ephesians 5 gets into that. It's in the book of Revelation. Christ is going to marry his church. And so we have this very vivid picture of it, of that marriage, typified by Boaz and Ruth. And Ruth really had to go after Boaz. She had to really prove it that she wanted to marry him. And, of course, we're all the same physically. When we get into a marriage, we really want to know that our spouse wanted to marry us, right? We don't want to marry somebody that's, you know, they could take it or leave it, or they're kind of on the fence about it. No, we wouldn't want that at all. And it's the same here with Boaz and Ruth. She really had to prove that she wanted to marry him. Christ wants to know that his people really want to marry him. And that's why he looks at us and watches us and tests us at times and, of course, protects us during all of it and really wants to see what type of attitude we have. What type of character are we developing? Do we really want to marry Jesus Christ? The correspondence course continues and says, this is the attitude we must have toward Jesus Christ. This attitude that Ruth had toward Boaz. He wants us to get to the point where we say, all that you say unto me, I will do, even if we don't understand it. Now, of course, as long as it's biblical. But those are the things that, the attitude that Christ is looking for. You know, go ahead and follow my instruction. Do what I'm asking you. There are times in life where we have a situation occur, or and we don't know why. Why did it occur? Why did it go this way? Why did it have to, you know, why did this trial have to come up? But Christ wants us to have that type of an attitude that Ruth had towards Boaz and towards Naomi as well, her mother-in-law. But just saying, okay, you know, if this is the direction, if this is what I need to do, then I'm going to go this way, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do all of it. You know, she had to be very careful to correctly do the instructions, to follow them the right way if she wanted to marry Boaz. And we have to do the same. We have to be very careful in following the instructions that God gives us and that Christ gives us. Christ is the head of his church. He wants to marry his church. And so we really have to consider this attitude that Ruth had. It's a tremendous attitude, and it teaches us a lot about marrying Jesus Christ. The course concludes and says, God is saying that if we can get to the point where we will do all that he says and won't compromise on one detail, then he will make us his wife for all eternity. That is truly special. Can we get to that point where we do every word of God, where we don't compromise on any of the details? I mean, that's what God wants. He wants us to fulfill his will. And we have a tremendous example in that. We have a tremendous example in that from Jesus Christ himself. He was the same towards his Father and is the same, where he perfectly follows his Father and perfectly does his Father's will. Christ set us a perfect example in following his Father when he was on this earth. You can see so many examples of that, especially right before his crucifixion, where he was praying to God and his Father and asking that if there be any way that the cup could pass from him, that it would. But he said, not my will, your will be done. He had that attitude. He had that attitude. John 15 and verse 9, It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. Talking to his people, it says, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Right? God wants us to love him and keep his commandments. Christ wants us to love the Father and keep his commandments and let Christ direct us. And he set us an example in doing it, as we just read there. He kept his Father's commandments, including keeping the holy days, including the day of Pentecost, because of how much history there is in it and what a wonderful future it pictures. The church marrying Christ. Christ set us a perfect example. He perfectly followed his Father. And when we look at Ruth and Boaz, Ruth typifying the church, Boaz typifying Christ, Ruth had an attitude of submission and wanting to really go after Boaz. Christ wants his church to really go after him and get to the point where, as we read about in his life, where we will do all of his will, just like he does the Father's will, setting us a perfect example. So we need to be able to have that attitude that Ruth had and really be submissive and obedient and thankful to God the Father and Jesus Christ. There is a very real marriage that is coming, a very real marriage that is coming between Jesus Christ and his church, his first fruit church, those called out and those that do his work using the power of his Spirit before his second coming. He wants to marry those people. He wants to marry that group, that church. And so it is up to us to make sure we show him that we want to marry him as well. That's one of the tremendous aspects of the day of Pentecost. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.